This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Last week at this time, MemCare's Scott Hollinger sat down for a conversation about the subject of leadership, and in particular, servant leadership. Today, Scott is exploring that subject some more with Dr. Stacy Reinhart and Dr. Rick Sessoms of MentorLink International. Let's listen to that conversation right now.
Gentlemen, our last time together, we were talking and sort of, I guess, introducing the whole concept of the servant leadership model and how this is applied to leadership. And one of the things we didn't get to talk about was the implications for the church today. And that's across any culture and any generation. But what are the implications for the church in various cultures and culture worldwide?
Well, it's interesting. There is in a lot of expression that has come my way is that this won't work in our culture. Mm-hmm. This approach to leading as a servant just simply won't apply. And so as I stand before groups and have done this for a number of years now, it's become evident that that's a pretty consistent voice from people, an expression from people that that it just won't work. And so there seems to be a kind of a common theme among people that this isn't applicable in my culture. And so the response that I usually have is I usually say, well, that's interesting because that's the typical response that I get. What it seems to imply is how far our typical church leadership models have strayed from Jesus' approach to mm-hmm. leadership, that we've come to accept that as normative rather than looking and critiquing what's going on. Meeting with, again, younger leaders who are not as vested in the dominant models, we hear this response of the need to readdress these issues and try to come back and ask some tough questions about what's really going on.
As I hear what you're saying, then the church faces a lot of challenges in how they go about changing the way that things are done. And we're speaking to workers, and even among small teams, it could be like turning the Titanic, couldn't it, to make this kind of a change from a more of a top down or whatever the leadership structure is to more of the servant leadership model.
Just a little bit of historical perspective. Coming out of World War II, the American church was in its heyday. And around that time in the late 40s, early 50s, some of the dominant evangelical organizations began. Some of the great churches that became the models for the evangelical church in the West were in their zenith at that time, the Boston Church and with Harold Ockingay and Billy Graham's ministry started during that time. And much of the church growth movement that was begun by Donald McGovern and so forth started in the vein of bigger is better. The larger, the more massive we can become in terms of our footprint, the more successful we will be and the more we will be accomplishing the greater will of God on earth. That, of course, got translated into the megachurch movement as we saw that. What's happened is that megachurch has created mega stars, if you will. And so the leadership model that has been exported worldwide is in this typical frame, whether you go to Latin America or Asia or Africa, is in this frame of the charismatic leader that calls the shots and everybody comes to rally around this person. And that's how the church is going forward in many contexts today. And that's the model that everybody wants to be part of.
Right.
Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that that's not translating in necessarily into transformed cultures. We're seeing the mega church that's very seeker sensitive and focused on the seeker need and all that kind of stuff that really isn't making the kind of impact that we had hoped into the culture. And so there's this connection then between these charismatic leaders on the one hand and the mega churches on the other hand, but it's not having the like impact on the culture. And so we're seeing that that there's some question about the very models that we've promoted, the bigger is better kind of a model. And so this brings in the question, what kind of leadership are we providing
right.
for the church at large?
What strikes me when I think about how Jesus ministered is that he met people where they were. What you seem to be describing in the case of the megachurch is that perhaps it is not as personable as it could be.
I'm not here to blast the megachurch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the megachurch has, there are some positive signals from the large church that really has a desire to reach the lost. So there can be just as much problem within a smaller church as there is a megachurch. So it's not about that. But when there is this attitude that bigger is by default better, it creates a leadership motif that becomes the person that everybody looks toward as sort of the alter ego, the one that people put on a pedestal. And that is really counter to what Jesus taught about mm-hmm. Shepherding the sheep.
We always assume that the way to get to the masses is to draw a big crowd.
Right.
What we see is that Jesus didn't go about it that way. He had such a concern for the whole world that he intentionally built into a few leaders. And he had concentric circles of increasingly large groups. There was the 3, the 12, the 70, and so on. But he had such a concern for the whole world that he gave us a model of how we could impact the whole world within our capacities. And all of us can relate to 3 to 12, some maybe even 70 or 500. But even Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, didn't try to take on the whole world at one time.
Right.
He didn't go reach the masses. He intentionally built into the few. And he knew that the power, the exponential power of leaders building leaders would get to the masses. So it's a whole different model. We call it the Jesus way of leadership versus the world's way of leadership.
Share your example, Stacy, of the comparing the person who works with one or two and the person over time and then the person who goes and does the seminar once a year.
We could talk a long time on this one, but let me just, Scott, illustrate it. Let's say they're two leadership developers. They both have a heart for leadership development. They're both vocational ministry workers. And one guy says, well, hey, I'm going to go recruit 100 people a year and take them through a 2-week training seminar that I'll lead. And so he does that, and he does it for 10 years. So 100 people a year times 10 years is 1,000 people at the end of 10 years. The other guy says, gosh, I don't have the kind of gifts to pull together 100 people, and if I did, I'm not sure they would want to listen to me anyway. Mm-hmm. So he said, but I know what I can do. I can go mentor 2 people a year and train them to mentor 2 people a year, and that goes on for 10 years. At the end of 10 years, which one has more? Well, it's the second guy by almost double. And then both of these guys are friends, and they're going to a leadership development conference in a different part of the world. And so they get on a plane. The plane has problems and crashes, and both are killed. So what happens to the leadership development model of the first guy in year 11? It's zilch. It's zero. But the second guy, well, it more than doubles again in year 11. And in year 12, doubles again. In year 13, doubles again. So without being precise on the numbers, the idea is that the power of exponential growth is what Jesus tapped into and showed us we could do.
Right.
Now, the other question is let's say the first guy who was doing 100 a year and the second guy who was doing mentoring 2 a year were to stand before a group of ministry leaders and they were to say, which guy is more successful? And they would always say the first guy is because he was doing 100 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the long term, which guy really was more successful?
Right.
The second guy. So the first guy would get more glory, but the second guy was smarter. The first guy did it really the way the world thinks, the way flesh thinks. It's all about me. It's about what I can do. It's about the 100 people that come listen to me. The second guy says, well, gosh, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to invest in two people because of the power of multiplication. And I really expect them to multiply as well. And so there's no end to where that one will go.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a definite end where the first one will go.
Rick, Stacy, thanks for your insights into the leadership style of Jesus. On our next time together, we'll look more deeply into the reasons how and why we as Christians can and need to adopt Jesus' way of leadership, no matter what culture we come from.
Scott Hollinger talking with Dr. Stacy Reinhart and Dr. Rick Sessoms of MentorLink International about servant leadership. Next week at this time, we'll have another conversation on the subject when they'll be extending their thoughts to leadership skills.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.